Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 3rd, 2014, and with me again, because I just can't get enough, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm really good. And John Martellaro, how are you, John?
I'm good. I walked this morning and the frost is on the pumpkin.
And that's not code, actually, because we both live in Colorado and the temperature was 35 degrees last night.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So
that does sound like something that would get you into a speakeasy, though.
I can't elaborate on that because of the restraining order. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, so considering yesterday we were like all negative and everything, I thought we'd go down a more positive path today. And then not, because we ended up with more negative stuff to talk about. So, there you go. So the first thing I want to take a look at is the news about code for exploiting bad USB ending up out on GitHub. And so the backstory is a couple months ago at the Black Hat conference, a security researcher talked about this exploit for USB, where there you can get around the built-in security, which is admittedly very slim, and you can embed malicious code into the firmware. So this means basically anything that has a USB plug on it is susceptible to this attack, and it's called.
And this doesn't mean like a phone or a USB hub. This means the cable. What we're talking about is the cable that you plug in.
The cable you plug in, but everything has to have a USB chip. So
right.
Anything that has a USB connection in it, which means a USB hub, could potentially be.
That's true. Okay.
A USB thumb drive, a USB hard drive.
Yeah. But those things generally have other stuff on them, and so it might be possible. Like, I already think that it would be a possibility that I could get a virus from a USB drive. I never considered it being an issue with the USB cable until this came out.
Right. And how about a USB mouse or USB keyboard?
Even better.
Yeah, these are all potential attack vectors for bad USB. And there's no way to protect against it. And realistically, it's almost undetectable. So if someone were to have a device infected with a bad USB exploit, they probably wouldn't know, which is just awesome. Okay, so when this was shown off in the Black Hat conference, the guy that did this did not release the code to the public because he felt that would be irresponsible because this is essentially unprotectable. And so here we are a couple months later, and a couple other security research guys have reverse engineered what was shown at Black Hat. And so they now have code to exploit bad USB in hand. And they're like, hey, you know, if we want to have any actual real changes happen to improve USB security, we just have to put this out there for everyone to have. And so they did, and they put it on GitHub.
I agree with that, because nothing's going to happen, as they said, until people are aware of it and it's understood and it's out in the world, and then that's going to force the manufacturers to fix it, because as we know, bad guys probably already have it anyway, and we need to figure out how to deal with it or change the technology or do something. But until it becomes open and public like that, it's everybody's going to feel too safe. So I agree with what they did.
I am torn. I totally agree that if there isn't a strong push to make something happen, companies won't fix a problem. The other side of it is this has a potential to be really nasty and a serious issue for a lot of people, especially because there is no way to protect against it without changing USB. And That means replacing all of our devices that have USB, including our computers.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm at is when I first heard this, I thought it was something where they had just put it out there. But it sounds like because usually what happens with something like this, when somebody discovers this kind of exploit, if there is a company of origin, for example, if somebody found a hole in OS X, in Mac OS, usually what happens is once they find the hole, they try privately to get in touch with the company. And then when that doesn't work, they publicly say, I know about the big fat hole in this piece of Mac OS, and I want to talk to Apple about it so that we can get it fixed before it's something that becomes a problem. Usually, if they end up having to go public, then that's what gets the original company's attention, and then something gets sorted out, and something is, you know, and then, you know, you get your little security update and you move on with your life. But it sounds like in this case, they came out with this at Black Hat and nobody cared. Nobody who makes USB chips for USB devices paid any attention to this.
That's what it looks like. Now, we don't know for certain that
right.
they didn't care, but
if
sure
that's what happened,
that
yeah, if that's what happened, I'm a little less upset that it's now out there. Because if the people who had discovered it, if the guy that discovered it initially had gone to these companies and said, do you know that this is a thing that people can do? And do you know how easy it would be for me to give you a bad USB cable? And now all this stuff happens to your computer. I think, you know, if he's gone through all those channels, and it sort of sounds like he probably had, you know, this is the, like you guys said, this is the only way that sometimes change is going to come. You know, whether you like it or not. And the thing that I don't like about this is that it's going to be just enough information. We see this a lot with Apple News. it's going to be just enough information to work up regular folks who aren't going to know all the details of anything. They're not going to know that this has existed for a long time. They're not going to know that anything happened. It's just going to be, I can't plug in a USB cable to my computer anymore. Ah, you know, and then somebody goes off and builds a cabin in the woods and starts mailing packages to people.
Well, Santa Claus?
Well, Kelly, there are sensible ways to deal with it. I mean, for example, you certainly don't want to go off to your college class, you know, and have somebody give you some photos or a homework assignment or something, stick it in their computer and then give it back to you and say, oh, yeah, here's your file.
Except that's like how college works.
I know, but, you know, there's probably a way to figure out what the first order problem is. It's like Ebola. You know, what's 99% of the problem? And if you can deal with 99% of the problem in a sensible way, you know, then you can hold the fort until the
right.
technologists figure out a fix.
I'm talking about the news, because what's going to happen is that people in my family are going to hear something like this on the news, because they're a fair number of members of my family are retired people, and they leave a news channel on in the background all day. And when they get to the tech section of the news during the day and somebody says a USB cable can do unspeakable things to your computer, I'm going to hear about it.
Yes,
and they're
you
not going to get into the they're not going to get into the detail of it. There's not going to be any nuance. Has anyone watched cable news lately? And basically what's going to end up happening is that this is going to scare the snot out of a lot of people for what is essentially no reason.
Cable news has been successful, right? Isn't that the goal?
Right. And that's the reason it concerns me is because they don't normally call me about the other stuff that people talk about on cable news, but they're going to call me about this.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And they're not going to like the answer that you give them.
Right. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if there are some people that totally flip out and they decide they're done with technology and ditch their computers which is unfortunate. And I wish that this had come out in a different way so that we could have devices getting released that can protect against bad USB, however that would be. And we didn't have to deal with what is inevitable, which is that bad USB exploits are going to start appearing in the wild very soon now.
Mm-hmm. And really that's what worries me, is that it's not like, because, you know, part of the reason a lot of people were grumpy, I think, with iOS 7 was because it started doing the thing where some of your cheaper cables wouldn't work to charge or sync your devices. And so that's where the MFI certification came from, like made for iPhone, made for iPad. Your cable needs that, and then it will charge your phone or your iPad, and it'll sync it, and it'll all be fine. But that's not the case for a lot of things. And so to me, what's going to end up being a concern is finding out if there's any other sort of countermeasure that another company could take. Because like micro USB cables, I can go to any drugstore right now and buy all manner of USB devices. And I can buy USB cables that are micro USB cables to charge whatever I want, and it will probably cost me less than $5.
Yep.
And how do I know that that cable is legit? Like, the one thing I can say about the MFI program is those cables are a little bit more expensive, but I know my phone's not going to melt. It's not going to explode. The cable's not going to melt. You know, like, I get a certain level of safety. It's like that little UL tag on all your power cords.
Oh, hang on a second, Kelly. If you meet certain specifications for the cable, the MFI, that doesn't guarantee that it's not susceptible to the firmware exploit.
No, this that's is just, a totally unrelated thing. Standards
for quality. Okay.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about, is this is, you have to meet a certain spec in order for Apple to give you that designation.
Right.
So I would like to see something similar, because like I said, with micro USB, it's, you know, anybody's ballgame. With micro USB, I would like to see some sort of similar certification, something that helps us get away from the fact that it is entirely possible that I could go buy something at Walgreens that could infect my computer with a terrible virus.
Maybe there's no way to keep the USB chip from being infected, but maybe somebody will come up with a way to test whether you are infected, and you can throw that part away. Maybe.
Yeah, right now, there is no way to test.
No way
to
test.
That doesn't mean there won't be a way to test.
Right.
Especially
right
now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to hit real quick before we have to wrap up today is the news that there's this worm that's out there for the Mac called iWorm. And the interesting thing for me, there's a couple interesting things about this, is that first, no one seems to be saying anything about how it actually gets on your Mac. And the other interesting thing is that it's using Reddit as part of its system to find the servers that it needs to get the commands that that will then tell it what to do on your computer once it's there. Whether that's use your computer as like a zombie to attack, or as part of a denial of service attack, steal information from your computer, whatever. So the Reddit part. Reddit itself is not being hacked or directly involved. It's just that these hackers figured out this clever thing they could do where they put posts on Reddit, and then they have the malware do a search on Reddit for those posts. And then in the post, it has the IP addresses for the servers that will then give it instructions on what to do.
Clever. You got to hand it to them. That's pretty
that
clever.
Was really clever. Now,
it really
Reddit
was.
Has shut down the subreddit that they were using,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that they can't come up with a new subreddit or use some other system like Twitter or something
right.
like that to get these IP addresses to infected computers. There are over 18,000 known IP addresses associated with the infection right now. So the idea that comes out of that is there are at least 18,000 Macs that are infected with the iWorm right now.
At least there's a test for this one. You can go and see if there's a specific file that's been installed in library application support?
Yes, it's called like Java W something.
Java capital W.
Java capital W. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah. So if that's there, then you've been infected.
And the infection is so bad, it's not localized. If it, my understanding is that if you got infected, it could have introduced malicious code into your Mac, and the only way you can deal with it is to erase your hard disk, start over.
Yeah, that's how it sounds.
Oh,
right
joy.
Now.
Oh, joy. Oh, joy.
Yeah. Or if you have a known good backup from before the infection point, then you can restore from that. Yeah. And it'd be okay, too.
But the thing is, like you said, nobody knows how you get this yet, right?
Right. That's what I'm finding to be fascinating. I have checked with a few different security companies, and no one is saying anything about how this payload gets delivered.
Hmm.
That's just fascinating. So there you go. But it looks like many of the virus protection or detection apps, at least, can now look and see if this is there and potentially remove the payload. If it's done anything else where it's installed other software on your computer, it probably isn't going to know that, but at least it can get rid of the core part of iWorm for you. So this is just another reminder that even though we're running Macs, we are not safe from malware attacks.
I feel a little like a Mythbuster today.
We are a little like a Mythbuster. I should have a good Mythbuster quote to toss out. Oh, I reject your reality and substitute my own. And a picture me saying that with my brown hat on and my black rimmed glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. Now everyone's up to date on all of this wonderful news. I was really hoping to do just fun stuff today, but no, there's all these bad guys out there that had to totally ruin it for us.
That's okay. That's okay. We're broadcasting to you today from the It Pays to Be Paranoid department here in Boston Square.
That's right. Break out your tinfoil hats, people. And just because you think someone is out to get you doesn't mean they aren't.
So when you're done with this episode, you should totally go check out cuteoverload.com.
Yeah. Yeah, go get yourself some cute.
Spend a little time with the Unicorn Chaser, because seriously, it's apparently that kind of show today. So let's bring a little balance to the force. Go find whatever your Unicorn Chaser is, go get your Unicorn Chaser, and then take a deep breath, move on with your day.
There you go. And Kelly, thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
And John, thank you for joining me.
A pleasure as always.
And everyone have a wonderful weekend.